Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Well, hello. It's great to be with you today. Today, we wanted to kick off a conversation about nature, creation, all the ways that being in the great outdoors speaks to us or maybe lends itself to being contemplative in our journeys. And so I have really enjoyed creation, nature over the past 3 to 4 years more than I ever have before. And I think for me, one of the reasons being, I've been a part of a Franciscan spirituality center. And for those of you that don't know, St. Francis is known for talking to the birds, talking to things in nature, as well as to people. In fact, he's quoted for saying, you know, many times, brother sun, sister moon. He has prayers that are devoted to nature and the outdoors. So I personally have entered into the spiritual arena of nature more so than ever before because of the influences on me. And so I'd like to start our conversation by saying, what has nature done for you guys? What is it doing for you currently? What would you like for it to do for you? And what are ways that we as contemplative can reap the benefits of what this amazing natural world has to offer us?
Well, maybe I'll just start off by acknowledging that I often talk to people who are not part of church or any sort of organized religion, but time and time again, people say, I feel close to God when I am in nature, or I feel spirituality when I'm out fishing or hiking or somehow in the wild. And I'm sure that maybe you've heard that as well. So there seems to be something hardwired in us as human beings to be in touch with the divine as we are immersed somehow in creation. And so I guess I'm wondering why that is, what our experience is as well, because I do think that there's something about the divine and nature that seem really important and intertwined with each other.
That's really good. Yeah. And even as you were bringing out some of those words, I think my awareness of God, if anything, is maybe sparked by way of nature, sort of like the amazingness of it. In fact, some of our kids are learning about rainforests, and apparently there's like 15 million species in the rainforest because it's like such a really fertile place for things to live and thrive. But that kind of variety and diversity is really inspiring. So yeah.
I think that's important, you know, kind of you naming the diversity and the awareness that's there, the expansiveness of nature, but also like the interiority that nature offers us as well. And somehow as we are reflecting on the natural world around us, I think it brings us into both an expansive space as well as an interior space. Mm-hmm. And I recently was listening to the SDI International, Spiritual Directors International Conference, and there was a woman, her name is Woman Stand Shining. Is her Navajo name, and she also goes by Pat McCabe. And she was talking about, she said, you know, I don't come to these conferences as a cultural show and tell. That's not compelling enough to me. But if we're talking about creation and sustainability, I think it's important to talk to the indigenous, because the word indigenous means people of a place. And so what does it mean that my ancestors have been in this place for centuries and knowing the land and understanding the way that Mother Earth and her terms expresses culture in these different parts of the globe through the way that we live and interact with the world around us. And I noticed in this conference, many of the speakers, as they began their session, they would acknowledge, like, thank you for joining today. I am, you know, piping in from wherever they were, and this is Ho-Chunk land or Navajo land or whatever the First Nations, the Native American land that they were standing on. They acknowledged that. And I thought, wow, that is beautiful. Beautiful. And that is tying us into those ancestral roots that just brought a whole new, both a groundedness and a depth and appreciation to me, as well as like, wow, like we are part of this such larger, grander story with creation than my little corner of the world. Many of them as well would acknowledge the nearest source of water. You know, I'm acknowledging the Ho-Chunk land and I am near such and such a lake as a reminder that that is the source for us of life through this water. So I've really been intrigued by ways in which different cultures and particularly the indigenous are expanding my view of creation and nature.
I think nothing inspires me like nature. And I know we probably get into this, but even early on as a kid, going out on adventures, being in the West Texas desert, seeing the sunsets and going on adventures, you know, finding, the horny toads and the lizards and the locust. And it's such a different landscape that I grew up in than where I'm at now in Wisconsin, or even most of Texas, you know, like what is actually out there. And I, you know, it just called to me. It speaks to my soul being out in nature. And it's always been that way. I can remember as a kid watching different movies that had fly fishing, you know, like A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt and, you know, several other actors that I can't think of right now. But there was something about this art of fly fishing, of being out in nature, that spoke to me. And so I think some of the barriers that we as people have to like that speaking or that calling or being one with, or, you know, just experiencing God out in nature has to do with like the bad things about nature, like the mosquitoes, the bears, the bugs. And I don't know what it says about our society that, you know, we can't take the good with the bad, or we can't experience a little bit of, mosquitoes or biting to overcome those barriers to get the great things that creation or nature has to offer us. I don't know what you guys think about that notion.
Well, let me be honest. I think I moved to the city pretty quickly when I became an adult, and I stayed there for almost 2 decades because like I am of the city mind, right? The bug. And apparently there are real practices around like, can you not accept, as you say, can you not accept these things that are happening? And I think, no, not very well. But even so, even in that space, recently I'll notice like if I put on a Waves soundtrack during my prayer times that I can almost feel like a wave. Like I can imagine this and it adjusts my mood and personality. It adjusts the way that I am flowing in the world. Or at the same conference, we all attended it, so it's probably going to come up for a while. But there was a guided meditation around being a tree and, you know, so starting at the roots and can you feel that sense of groundedness and rooting? And I was like, strangely, yes. Even though I'm in my living room and I am standing on carpet, actually, I could imagine these feelings. And can you grow your branches? And can you lose your branches? And the whole bit, so kind of embodying a little bit of nature, using the imagination, still works, even if you're a city folk like me.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that because I remember the first time that somebody gave me pushback. It was one of my friends, and she was saying, like, I don't feel safe in nature. I didn't grow up in nature. She's Black, and I think there's just this sense of, like, going into the woods does not feel safe to me. That feels awful to me. And so, and yet there was something in her that was compelled by this idea. And as she reflected further, she said, you know, actually, one of my favorite memories is going to the beach with her husband and her daughter. And it was community. We were around other people. It felt safe. It was fun. And somehow being at the ocean, that piece of nature was meaningful to her, where other parts of nature felt very unappealing or unsafe to her. Also in that conversation, recognizing that houseplants or having flowers in the home love that sort of thing. And so I think even the way in which we describe nature and creation, it can look different based on our life experience and how we want to engage with that. And I think that's important to name in this conversation as well.
Yeah, I wonder about I think there is an aspect of our life that we are called into. You know, there are several stages or there are several seasons that we go through. And I think there are seasons of solitude or seasons of desert or seasons of going into the wilderness that you see all through all kinds of literature. I wonder what nature has to offer us in those seasons. I've found in seasons of dryness that I am actually compelled to go into nature. And maybe it's that's where you find solitude. That's where you find the things that you need for your spiritual journey to deepen you. And so I think that's something that comes up for me is in what, you know, there in several cultures, you know, the Germans, they call it Wanderlust, you know, the young men go out into the wilderness to see what they're made of. You know, that's a compelling reason to go out into nature because there's nothing can take you down to the level of humanity, like a rainstorm or a thunderstorm and being caught out in the open. Nothing can make you feel your volatility or your humanity like what nature can bring. And so I wonder in our spiritual journeys, how important is nature to the contemplative process and going deep, going to that inner place, to the discovery of who you really are, how necessary it is. And how, you know, bugs are a part of that. You know, like I can't control this. This is not peaceful right now. I want it to be peaceful. I want the sunset. A lot of times I make fun. There's a commercial. I think it's actually a Cialis commercial, you know, where this older man and woman they're in their separate bathtubs by a waterfall and in this gorgeous nature setting. And I'm like, yeah, I bet you there's so many bugs in that actual place that their heads are underwater. But we want the picturesque, right? Without the suffering. And so is the suffering necessary to get us to go to that inner place that we need to in our spiritual journeys?
Yeah. And I wonder if that's, you know, the piece of the interiority. So I think that is something that nature can offer us is that intensity, Chris, that I hear from you of we're going out into the rugged, to the wild, there's bugs, there's beasts, there's all the things. Contrasting that with someone that has a bird feeder in their backyard and in the morning as they're drinking their coffee in their air conditioning, maybe looking out the window to the birds that are feeding on the bird feeder and somehow reflecting on nature, that's where they're at, of just like recognizing the diversity and the beauty and the expansiveness of creation. So I think even what we both give and receive from nature, I think changes based on where we're at in life. And I was recently with some people and kind of getting to expose to some different authors, Judy Canato, Wendell Berry, talking about kind of our relationship with creation. And it's like, you know what, sometimes we have some walking trails by our house that are wooded. And it's like, you know what, I spew to the woods. Like when I am stressed, I do this, you know, I release my stress to the trees and to the woods, and somehow I can just like walk in the woods. And then when I come out of the woods, I feel more at peace or whatever. I'm thinking about, wow, like I'm kind of dumping, you know, in a sense, I'm not trashing and littering, but with my emotions. And so I've been aware of that. And so now when I'm going for walks too, that happens. But sometimes it's like, I'll just stop and give thanks for the beauty of, you know, the butterfly or the tree or whatever that I'm seeing, and kind of that give take relationship that nature offers up. So I really appreciate what you're highlighting there, Chris.
Yeah. And I think even as we're talking, I'm recalling there's a lot of metaphor for life that is found in those nature-esque spaces. So even if I am just sitting on a rock in the sun and it's not quite as intense as Chris's description, which I don't think I've ever had that experience, but I am hoping to be open someday. I think of, you know, like the meaningfulness that will suddenly come from an ant passing by or a bee flying by has been profound. Like, whereas in a different setting, I never would have necessarily thought about the ant or the bee and how that relates to my life and what that might be showing me. So, yeah, there is something about even just a little bit of exposure to the elements. There's a lot of metaphor.
Yeah, and I think something that, you know, in the small ways, right? In whatever ways you're ready for. And I'm all about that. And hopefully we've spoken to everyone's desire, whether it's the great adventure or the wilderness, or it's the bird feeder in the backyard. I think something else that compels me is, you know, I recently read a book about love and learning to love the small things. Like, I think we have these grandiose ideas of loving people and loving communities, but this author challenged, like, you can't do that until you love that leaf of grass or that tree branch or that flower. And so it's really challenging people to the practice of loving small things in nature before you attempt these big, grandiose ideas of love. And so that's something that I've been practicing, and it resonates with me. I find that as I'm thankful for the raindrop as I'm out walking, or I'm thankful for the yellow lily, or, you know, that particular leaf of grass. Loving the small things, I think, opens me up in a way to love bigger. So I really appreciate that about nature as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about living in the Midwest, which the three of us do live in the Midwest, we do experience all the seasons. And I was recently on a call with a handful of us from the Midwest and then someone from Florida. And, you know, we were kind of checking in, how is everyone? And, oh, it's spring. And we're, you know, several people were into gardening and getting their gardens ready or just going outside because the weather's warmer. And the person in Florida said, oh, you know, I used to live in the Midwest, and hearing you, I actually miss that, because in Florida, there's not that dramatic changing of the seasons, and hearing just everyone so appreciative of going from the winter clothes into more of that spring-like weather. Collectively, we're experiencing this in the Midwest as a community, the joy and the emergence of new life that the spring offers that our friend in Florida wasn't experiencing. And so I think that there's that kind of that personal piece, but also depending on where we're located geographically, I think that there's a communal aspect as well that we can experience.
I love the communal aspect of it. That is so, I just had to take a moment to just enjoy that. And even the notion of sunlight, I have sometimes just purposely moved myself. If it's sunny, right? If it's cloudy, I think, well, not today, right? But if it's sunny, I will move myself purposefully to get into that space. And I talked about joy lists on another podcast. Another aspect of is like fresh cut grass. Like, I used to cut grass when I was a 15-year-old. So there's something about it, these little ways in which goodness flows into us by way of nature. And back to a point we made almost at the beginning, it does seem a little bit universal across faith traditions and people, tolerance levels, and what aspect of it we mean, but it does seem a little bit universal.
Yeah, I would agree with that, right? Some people really like having, you know, a cat or a dog in their home. Other people aren't, quote, animal people, but they're more flower people, or they're more, you know, woodsy type people. So I think, yeah, all the elements just seem really important.
Well, what a fun conversation that we have had today. Thank you so much. And we look forward to more stories of our adventures in nature. This is the part of our podcast where we talk about what we are into. What are we into?
Well, kind of what we've been talking about, I have been into learning more about Pat McCabe and her work and her writings and talks. And I'm just really fascinated by, you know, over the years, sort of dipping my toes into learning about Native Americans. And that's always been a really fascinating journey whenever I've read books as a kid. I grew up in St. Louis, so the Gateway Arch and the Lewis and Clark expeditions. So as a kid, we definitely had sprinklings of that, but I'm just really enjoying kind of re-entering the world of learning about Indigenous people groups again. So that's what I'm into this week.
Yay, I love it. We are in the process of, I don't know, we got caterpillars and they become butterflies. So I'm the metamorphosis process, I suppose. But so currently there's five of them total. Four of them are in their chrysalis. And once that last one gets in, we can then transfer them to this netted cage thing, and then they can transform. But it has been really fun to watch our children stare at these, you know, little creatures that change and move quite a lot, actually. And it was further intriguing to realize how fast they go into a chrysalis. Like, one of them did it in an afternoon. Like, we saw them at lunch, and then we came back at dinner, and he or she was in their chrysalis. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then another afternoon, they got to kind of watch them wiggling and getting down into that. So it has been this really fascinating experience.
Beautiful. Well, I've always been into Coldplay. They're one of my favorite bands, but I have been way into Coldplay recently. They have a new song called Higher Power, and I watched an interview with Chris Martin, and I was just amazed at just the musical journey. And I thought they couldn't put out a better song than this last album, Everyday Life. In fact, I don't know if anybody has listened to Everyday Life, but their very first song called Sunrise, what a great experience to be in nature and listen to that song at the same time. What a spiritual moment. But this new song, Higher Power, and just hearing Chris Martin talk about his gratitude, his thankfulness for the gift that he's been given to be able to sing and to be able to do music. And it's just been really inspiring. So I've been into Coldplay even more than normal. So I look forward to trying to learn some of their licks on this new song, Higher Power. Thank you so much for joining us. For more resources, we ask that you check out the contemplativelife.net, and we look forward to seeing you next time.